Thought if she doesn't invite me up soon, I'm going to come up and take that mic before something else is said. Young adults, I got your back. Don't worry. No, so does Pastor Denise. She just wants to see more babies running around the church. So some weddings. It's all happening in due time. In due time. Well, that's funny. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we had our youth camp, and we had an amazing time at our winter camp. And we had some testimonies come through about two Sunday nights ago, and just the stories of how God, I love how God doesn't just touch one area of our life, but when he touches one area, it actually like ripples effects into all different other areas of our life. And you know, that word sozo in the Bible is like a fully healed, fully restored. It's not just one element of healing, it's like a holistic type of healing. And we really saw God do something like that over camp. People's lives touched in one area, but it transforming and shifting and shaping others. And I love the last night of camp, because you see this like glimmer of hope in people's eyes, like this expectation for the future that God is good and he's doing something for the future. And this morning, I want to speak a message and share a message with you that I hope has the same effect. That it would glimmer some hope into your eyes and get you excited about what God's doing in the future. It's very easy to focus on the negative things that are happening around our lives, and that takes a lot of attention and a lot of energy to focus on those things. But I believe in the Bible, Jesus said to meditate on things that are good, meditate on things that are pleasing to the Lord. And so this morning, I want to do that very thing right there. And I'm going to share with you a message today called Dreaming with God. Dreaming with God. And why don't we start by just honoring him in the room, asking him to speak to us, opening our heart to him. You could listen to a sermon and just let it go in one ear and out the other. Or you could say, Holy Spirit, I don't care if it's a rubbish preacher on stage, speak to me. Speak into my heart. I want to hear from you. Amen? Why don't we do that? Well, Holy Spirit, I thank you you're here this morning, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you set us free today from any lies or any mindsets or thought patterns that have restricted our belief to dream, that have restricted our belief to hope for the future. I thank you, God, this morning, you would impart hope into us, impart hope into the church, Lord. And I declare it in the name of Jesus, let faith arise this morning. Open our eyes so that we can see and dream with you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Wonderful. Well, I want to start by sharing a little bit of a story. And I know in my life, I started to follow Jesus as I was coming out of high school. And it was in those years through high school, I had so many rebellious years through high school, and I got very caught up in trying to please people and living in the world and doing all the things that would gratify my sinful nature. And then I realized that Jesus isn't just an idea, he's not just part of a religion, but that he actually has come to set us free from that sinful nature, that he came to set us free from sin. And I had this sense of hope again, this dream and this hope that maybe I don't have to be bound by my addictions, that maybe I don't have to be bound in this cycle and this pattern of brokenness that I found myself in, my friends in, my family in, that there was hope for my future. And I remember coming along to a youth group and experiencing the love and the presence of God. And it changed me, it transformed me, it opened my mind up, it opened my eyes up to an infinite realm of possibilities. That just because of my past, that's not gonna actually hold me back from my future. That the Lord could actually position me as a new creation to experience a new life. And it excited me, I was so excited. And I remember as I was coming to about 18 years old and finishing school, I remember coming along to church on Sundays, I remember coming along to youth on Friday nights, and preachers and prophets and leaders in the church would come around and lay hands on me and pray for me. And maybe just like some of you have experienced, I had people prophesy good things over my life. You know, a few weeks ago, we had Pastor Faylene here, and many of you received a word of encouragement or a word of prophecy. And it excites you, it opens you up to something new and something that you never really dreamed of before. And it puts a seed in your heart for something that's possible. And I remember receiving prophecies like that. For me, it might be different to you. You know, I remember hearing prophecies of, I see you preaching in front of hundreds of people and seeing the power of God move. For me, I heard people say, I saw miracles. I can see miracles as I lay hands on you, God releasing miracles in and through your life. And the thing is, in that state, at that age, as a baby Christian, I was probably only 2-3 years old in Christ. I was about 18 years old, 19 years old. I've only been a Christian for a little while, following Jesus, still learning about him. I was still hearing great prophecies, great words of encouragement, but I was perceiving them through a carnal mind, through a fleshly mind. And I'm hearing these prophecies, and you know how I started interpreting them? I'm starting to think, oh, I can just see myself there, standing on stage at Hillsong Conference. I can just see myself getting chauffeured around in these beautiful cars, and I just can't wait to get up on church and preach, and people smile at me. And the carnal mind starts kicking in. How could it please me? How could it gratify me? The Bible says that the carnal mind is motivated by the flesh. It's motivated by the sinful nature. As I started to grow in the Lord, as I started to read the Word of God, as I started to spend time seeking Jesus in his presence in worship, that carnal mind starts to be renewed. It's the renewing of the mind, right? And the process of renewing the mind is that you wouldn't think carnally anymore. You wouldn't think out of the sinful desires of the flesh, but you would think out of the mind of Christ. That the more you look at Jesus, the more you'd become like him. The more you'd think like him, walk, talk, and act like him. And as that process started to develop in my life, as I started to practice renewing my mind and shifting my desires to receive the desires of God, I started to perceive these prophecies a little bit differently. And you know what? I actually started to envy speaking on stages at church, because I didn't want to speak to Christians. I wanted to speak to the lost. I didn't want to preach to Christians so that they could warm the seats up even more. I started to actually think, oh, I don't want to do this. I want to go out on the streets. I want to share with people on the streets. You know, I've actually been able to see more miracles happen on the streets of Mackay than I have in the church. God loves to reveal his signs and wonders to those that are desperate and in need, those that are hungry. And I started to realize that it's not about their faith. It's actually about mine to release them. And so I started to get excited about what God was doing outside of the church, and I started to get caught up in missions. And Pastor Cheryl preached an amazing sermon this morning on missions. It was great. I felt inspired. I was like, yes, Lord, I'm ready to go on the next mission trip. But I got excited about missions, and for me, the dream started to shift when people started to prophesy over my life. I no longer saw myself behind lights, but I saw myself in the dirt. I saw myself in the dirt in the Philippines preaching to a village of people that couldn't even understand English, but laying hands on them and seeing God move and heal the sick. And you know what? Years later, I saw it happen. I started to imagine myself in different scenarios around Mackay, in different situations and workplaces, loving on people and sharing with them the goodness of God. And I've seen it happen. The carnal mind desires things from the sinful nature, but the mind of Christ, the renewed mind, has the desires of God. It has desires to seek first the kingdom of God. And our ability to dream can sometimes be motivated by an unrenewed mind, a carnal mind. And I want to tell you this morning, God doesn't just want you to dream for him. He wants to dream with you. Like, he wants to be a part of dreaming about your future together. You're not just created to do things for God. You've been created and designed to do things with him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to partner with you. He wants to live and move through you. You know, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And I think maybe the reason we see a lot of Christians that are often weak and complacent today in the world is because they've allowed the enemy and the world to steal their joy, to steal their hope, and they've stopped dreaming with God. The church is not supposed to end in the book of Acts. the love of God, the power of God, the move of God, the revival of God was not supposed to end in the book of Acts. It's supposed to be continued on in and through our lives. But I think the reason why we don't see as much of it today is because we've allowed the enemy of the world to steal our hope and our ability to dream for the future. Even these things that have happened around the world today, the disasters, the plagues, the sicknesses, the wars that are happening around the world today, don't let it steal your hope for what God can do in the future. You know, it's actually been after world wars that we've seen the biggest revivals. Did you know it's actually been in countries of persecution where they've actually seen the greatest move of God? I watched a documentary the other day about the revival that's happening in the Middle East as the Muslim control is starting to increase and Sharia law is increasing over the Middle East. It talks about stories of revivals that are happening in the underground church. In fact, the actually rate of conversion in the underground church in the Middle East is greater than the rate of conversion here in Australia. That's incredible. We need to get our hopes up. I believe the earth would look a lot more like the kingdom of God today if more believers took their joy back and got their hopes up and started dreaming with God again. We hear it preached all the time. The end times are, we're in the end times. The end times are upon us, but that shouldn't limit our ability to dream for the future. The end might come today, it might come tomorrow, it might come in a year's time or 2 years' time or 5 or 10 years' time, but I'm still gonna dream for heaven to come, for the kingdom of God to be released, for sickness to be healed, for poverty to be uprooted in our city, for people to live blessed and whole, for my family to know Jesus and to grow up in the ways of the Lord. We need to dream again. When the people of God dream, light is dispersed in the darkness. When the people of God dream, things in society shift and change. Countries have grown and been established and systems and governmental structures that are healthy have been put in place because people of God dared to dream. Martin Luther King Jr. says, "I have a dream. I have a dream." Years ago, Pastor Rob was given a God dream to start a school in a regional community. And you know what? That's inspired people like Pastor Rob have planted and pioneered Christian schools in regional communities like Mackay. It's inspired others to plant Christian schools. And people all over Australia get to meet Jesus because someone like Pastor Rob dared to dream. What happens when the people of God dream? What would happen in your legacy, in your family line, if you chose to dream with God? We are all created to dream. And the dream doesn't have to be big. It could be a simple yet beautiful dream like starting a family. But the important thing is not the size of the dream, but the size of the God you dare to dream with. It's not about the size of the dream. Some people get discouraged when they hear a message about dreaming for the future because they think, well, you know what? I could never do something great. Or you know what? I don't feel called to start a school, start a business, to release art or write songs or make movies. I don't feel called to dare to dream of anything big. I just want to live a simple life and raise a family. And it's not the size of the dream. It's about the size of the God you dare to dream with. He can take a mustard seed and move mountains with it. It's not about the size of your dream. It's about the size of the God you dare to dream with. Most of us have found ourselves in a place of just doing stuff for God, but the Lord is inviting us to create with Him rather than work for Him. If you've ever had an encounter with the Lord, you've had the desire to do something for Him and your heart would be compelled by love to make a difference, and you want to get up and get going. But the question we want to gather around today is, where do we start? How can we begin dreaming with God? I've found myself in seasons where I've been a big dreamer, and then something's happened in my life, and I've thrown it all out, and I thought, I'm not going to dream anymore. I'm just going to get up tomorrow and go to work and get on with it. But then as time goes on, walking with Jesus, He's opened my heart up to dream again. And I believe we're in a season as a church where we need to open our eyes up to dream again. to have a vision. Without vision, people perish. You need to get a God dream in your life. You need to get a sense of what God can do in your life. Dreaming with God begins with believing that God is good, that He's good enough, that He's actually more than good enough to have good things in store for your life. It's not just that God is good, it's that God is great. Like His nature towards us is good. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "Great are the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Some people find it hard to dream with God because they struggle to believe that God is good. And they think that maybe they have to prove themselves to God, or maybe I'm not good enough for God to love me and for God to want good things for me. Pastor Rob, I use this example often. Pastor Rob has a granddaughter named Zara, and it doesn't take much for him to dream of a good and great future for her. It doesn't matter if she leaves her toys everywhere over his house when she comes to visit. Doesn't matter if she drew on the wall. Maybe a little bit. But you know what? At the end of the day, no matter what she does, even though Pastor Rob is not perfect, even though he does not measure up to the goodness of God, he still desires a good and great future for his granddaughter. How much more does a good God desire a great future for you? To begin dreaming, you have to believe, truly believe, that God is good. God is good. Come on, we're getting a bit modern here. We need to go back to the old school. God is good, and all the time. That's weird. No wonder we stopped doing it. Sounds culty. I'm not doing it again. All right, this morning, I'm just kidding. Thank you for joining me. This morning, I want to share with you just six. If we can get through all six, we'll go through all six. Six revelations to begin dreaming with God. I'm going to speed through it. Six revelations to begin dreaming with God. If you'd like to take notes, you can. If you want to journal what Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you can. I find that kind of thing helpful. First revelation to begin dreaming with God is that we are created in His image, in the image of the Creator. Dreaming with God begins with knowing who you are in Christ, that you were created in the image of God, that temptation and sin tries to defile that image you were created in. But Jesus came to restore our identity and restore our image as sons and daughters of God again. He came to make us a new creation in Christ, to redeem the image of our Creator, that we would look like Him, walk, talk, and act like Him, that we would be the extension of Christ, the body of Christ on the earth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Genesis 1:26, we've heard it many times before. It says, "Let us make mankind in our own image, in the image of our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth, over all of the creatures that move along the ground," so that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We are created in the image of God to be creative and to be creators. You have it in your DNA to be creative. You have it in your DNA to dream with God, to create something new, to be fruitful and multiply across the earth in more ways than one. Praise the Lord. Like an apple seed that produces apples, we have been created in the image of God to create. Of the billions of people that God has created, not one of them are the same. Each of us have our unique fingerprint, personality, desires, and gifts. In fact, your very life lived out in the purpose of God is a gift to the world around you. When you begin to dream with God, your life becomes a gift to those around you. God wants to enable you to dream with Him. Second thing, first, to begin, we're created in His image. Second thing to begin dreaming with God is you were created to create. There's a lie that I hear a lot in people's lives where they say, well, you know, that's great, but I'm just not creative. Or like, oh, you know, I hear people, they start a business or they do something nice for people, or they're very kind and generous to people, or they find different ways to share the gospel with people, or, you know, they have all these ideas, but I'm just not creative. That's a lie. The truth is that you're creating the image of a creator. You are creative. Don't ever believe the lie that you're not creative. Sure, you might see someone outworking creativity in a different way that you don't do. Like, I look at Jark and I think, wow, Jark is so creative. But I've got to be careful in honoring and praising how creative Jark is. I don't treat myself like I'm not creative. You're creative in your own unique way. You are creative. If you have a desire to paint, to dance, to sing, to play sports, to write songs, to design things, to solve problems, or even desire to help and bless others in different ways, guess who put those desires in you? It wasn't the cartoons you watched when you were young. Your creative desires actually come from the one who created you. He put them inside of you. The biggest threat to your creativity and ability to dream with God is not an external threat, but it's an internal threat that you have the power to control. Are you ready? The biggest threat to your creativity is comparison. Comparison. Comparison is plaguing our society right now. Social media has caused comparison to grip and control the minds of this generation. Comparison is killing creativity. These days, you know, I actually love listening to documentaries and watching documentaries of tribes around the world. And I love watching hunter-gatherer tribes, how they walk and talk and act around each other and serve each other and gather together and share food and share resources together. I love exploring and watching about other tribes around the world. They have no contact on social media. They don't compare themselves to others. It's just them and their tribe together as one. And you know what? The people there aren't trying to look prettier than the next person. They're not trying to get a bigger spear or a bigger car or a bigger house or a... They're not in debt trying to keep up with the Joneses or the Kardashians or whoever you follow. Comparison is killing your ability to dream with God. Comparison kills creativity. We need to control comparison before it controls us. And the way that you control comparison, here's the key, is by practicing, honoring, and celebrating others when they are creative, when they do something well, when they succeed. Creating a habit of honor and celebrating others actually gives you control over comparison. You can actually use social media well, and you can actually not be controlled by comparison if you would choose to use social media to celebrate others and not allow it to compare to others. Celebrating others controls comparison in your life. You know, this is a big thing that we have in Australia is the tall poppy syndrome. You've heard of tall poppy syndrome before. If you haven't, it's this mindset we tend to come under that when someone else succeeds, we want to tear them down. That maybe a politician rises to power and we think, well, the only way he could have got there was by being corrupt and sharing lies, and it's probably true, but we use it to tear people down. That maybe someone in your family buys a new car and you think, oh, I wonder how much debt he's in for that. And we can't just celebrate others. We need to tear them down before we can accept them. But the kingdom of God is not about tall poppy syndrome. It's actually about honor. The kingdom of God is full of people who honor and celebrate others. You know, when you actually celebrate what God's doing in other people's lives, you're actually opening yourself up for God to do the same in yours. When a friend of mine is blessed and I celebrate and I honor that in them and I'm grateful for them and through them, I'm actually opening myself up for God to repeat the blessing on my life. But when I choose to compare and judge and critique and tear down, I'm closing doors of blessing and breakthrough. Celebrating others kills comparison and allows you to enjoy who God made you to be, uniquely you, and enjoy those around you. Have you ever seen an expensive piece of art before? Anyone been to like an art museum and anyone really love art? Some people do. I know Kevin Downey does. He loves art. Has anyone ever seen a piece of art valued over $100 million? Anyone raise your hand? Seen a piece of art raised over $100 million? Yep. It's expensive. You know that picture of Van Gogh's Starry Night? You know the Starry Night, I don't even know how to describe it, I'm not an artist, but you know that Starry Night painting of Van Gogh? That's valued over $100 million. Incredible. What about a piece of art valued over $870 million? Do you know what art piece is worth over $870 million? The Mona Lisa. The Mona Lisa. She's not even that pretty. $870 million. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Raise your hand if you've seen, everyone's seen the Mona Lisa? Raise your hand if you've seen the Mona Lisa. If you've seen Van Gogh's Starry Night, raise your hand. All right. Now, I want you to raise your hand if you've seen an art piece before that you would prefer to have in your house than those two paintings. There's something prettier than the Mona Lisa, more beautiful than Van Gogh. Most hands are being raised in this place. So what makes these two paintings so valuable and so expensive? What makes them so valuable and so expensive? You know, you take the Mona Lisa, for example, and in the 1500s, when Da Vinci was painting the Mona Lisa, there wasn't hundreds of other paintings just like the Mona Lisa. He was way ahead of his time. The dimensions, the shades, the tones, the highlights, the shadows, the way Da Vinci could so perfectly design this piece of the Mona Lisa, there was nothing like it around. Why are these paintings so valuable? Well, number one, because they're unique and they're one of a kind. You can buy a copy print off of Mona Lisa and it'll be worth $5. You just print it out on Google Images. But this piece is so valuable because it's one of a kind. The other thing that makes it so valuable is the one who designed it, the artist who actually designed it. You know, if it was Pastor Rob painting the Mona Lisa, it'd probably be worth $100, not $870 million. The one who designed it, and also how unique it is. And you need to catch this. We need to catch this in our hearts, because your value isn't determined by those you compare yourself with. Your value is not determined by what the news says it is wealthy in society. Your status, your status and your identity, your value is not defined by the race you come from, the place you come from, your past or your background. Your value is determined by the one who created you and the fact that he's made you one of a kind. No one can dream the God dream that he has put in store for you. You can't just go to sleep one day and hope that somebody else would dream the God dream that he had in store for you. There is something unique about you that you can release on the earth and partner with God in that no one else can do. You can reach people in your workplace that no one else can reach. You can love people in our city that no one else can love. You can serve people in a way that nobody else can, because you are uniquely created by an artistic God. You have been created to create. God is not glorified when you live a life of comparison. God is glorified when you be uniquely you. Da Vinci gets all the credit for the Mona Lisa that he deserves. May God get all the credit that he deserves for creating you uniquely you. Don't fall into the trap of comparison with others. All right, the last three I'm just gonna give you really quickly because we've run out of time today. Praise God. The third thing, renewing your mind to see what heaven sees. To begin dreaming with God, you need to renew your mind to see what heaven sees. And I love that scripture. I think Ben Patterson shared it the other week. In Psalm 37 verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that scripture can be interpreted not just that God would give you everything you want. I don't believe that's what the scripture means, that God will just give you whatever you want. But that it actually could mean that as you abide in Christ, as you delight yourself in the Lord, he would put desires in your heart. He would give you desires. He would give you desires in your heart. Part of renewing my mind, part of renewing your mind and beginning to dream with God looks like coming to the altar or coming to the presence of God and saying, Lord, all of my dreams, all of my plans, all of my desires, I lay down at your feet. I surrender. Now put back in me your desires. And anything that's not of you, you can leave it on the floor. God, I give you my life. I pray this prayer weekly. Lord, all of my dreams, all of my desires, all of my plans for the future, I lay down at your feet. Put back in me what you desire. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. All right, the fourth one, I'd like this one. I'll touch on this quickly because I've got a little picture to show you. The fourth thing to begin dreaming with God is that God is big and the devil is small. To understand that God is big and the devil is small. I like this picture, this little cartoon here. And I don't know if you've ever watched cartoons as well, or if you came from a very Christian home and they didn't let you watch cartoons, but I was allowed to. And I saw a lot of times pictures of a mouse or a rat up against the wall, and it would shine a flashlight against the wall to try and make itself look like a big monster and look scary and try and scare off the cat that was trying to chase it. And when the cat would see the big shadow, it would freak out and run away. And a lot of the times, the devil will do this. The enemy, the devil, will try and intimidate you. But he actually doesn't have that much authority over your life. See, Jesus came to take back the authority. And the only authority the enemy has is the authority you give him by believing in his lies. And so here you can see a glimpse of this. And I teach this to people when they ask me questions about the demonic, or they talk about evil spirits or unclean spirits that are trying to torment them and give them fear and things in people's houses and all that sort of unclean stuff, which I probably shouldn't even bring up because it's not part of the sermon today. But but when you see it like this, when you see the enemy puts on a facade, it's all smoke and mirrors. I love that song we sing. The enemy's only got smoke and mirrors. God is big. The devil is small. The devil is not omnipresent. He's not behind every red light you get. He's not behind every time you spill coffee on your clothes. God is big. The devil is small. And Jesus has come and he's stolen authority off the devil. He's taken authority back and given it to you. The only authority the enemy has over your life is the authority you give him when you believe in his lies. You want to take authority back? Then look for truth. Search the Bible for the truth of the Word of God. Declare that over your life and you've snatched your authority right back. All right, really quickly. Number five, friendship with God. Dreaming with God is birthed out of relationship with him. God created you not just to work for him, not just to be a servant, not just to be a son, but to also be a friend of God, to walk in friendship with God. And the last point, number six, is to co-labor with Christ, to recognize that it's not just me doing it for you, it's me doing it with you, God. When you're planning the next year for your family, when you're planning about your future and whether you move jobs or move towns or whether you make big decisions in life, it's really important that you would do it with God. You know, we talked about this week in one of our Young Adult Connect groups, and we talked about how a husband would get in a lot of trouble if he spent $10,000 on gym equipment without letting his wife know. And vice versa, the wife would have a very unhappy husband if she spent $10,000 on a new handbag without considering her husband. Here's the thing. God has explained to us that he wants a relationship with us like a husband and wife. He wants a marriage covenant with us. He wants friendship with us, to partner with us in life. How often do we make decisions without consulting our heavenly husband? How often do we take steps and make plans and build our future for God without consulting him in the process? Part of walking and dreaming with God is to involve his presence in the midst of everything we do. And when the people of God dare to dream with him, the world looks very different. The world begins to change. You want to see people come out of poverty. You want to see more people healed and healthy and set free. You want to see more marriages whole and less broken ones. You want to see kids raised up with godly morals and not killed by comparison. You want to see people walk in their God-given potential and purpose and future. It starts when people like you and me dare to dream with God. Would you stand with me this morning, church? Worship team, would love for you to come back out and lead us in a song, preferably something Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, this morning we look to you. Why don't you close your eyes with me in this place? Let's just, with your eyes closed, from your own heart, why don't you begin to pray some of those prayers? Lord, put in me the desires of your heart. I give you my desires. I delight in you. I seek first your kingdom. Put in me the desires of your heart. If you struggle to think about your purpose, if you struggle to think about your future and how God could use you, then start to surrender your own selfish desires at his feet and ask him to put in you the desires of his heart. To renew your mind. To see things the way he sees things. Father God, help us to see the world the way you see it. Help us to see people the way you see them. Help us to see not just problems, but opportunities for miracles. Help us to be those who bring solutions to problems, not just complain about them. Help us to be the creative sons and daughters you've created us to be, to co-labor with you. God, we know we can't do it on our own, so we choose to surrender unto you. Lord, this morning we pray, renew our minds, give us the mind of Christ. And we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in our life, on earth as it is in heaven. And until we see that come in its full picture, we will continue to dream with you, God. I pray this morning as we worship you, God, let there be an impartation of hope and let faith arise. Holy Spirit, renew our minds to partner and dream with you. In Jesus' name.